E. Casey Foundation.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lorine. Coming up today, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. We'll open up the phones for this hour. There's a few things I want to play. We could even talk about what I'm about to play next, which is a listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. Yesterday, we got into a discussion about the government shutdown and the calls by President Trump to build a border wall. He wants the initial down payment of $5 billion for it. Here's what one listener had to say following yesterday's show.
So I was just making a response to one of the callers that had called in yesterday about the border wall. And this woman, you know, wanted to say that the border wall was immoral and racist. I would just like to ask, like, her and people who support open borders and support not having any security for the country, why do they lock their own doors? Why do they live behind a fence, a locked door, or a wall themselves? And people like, she mentioned Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi saying the wall was immoral and that she agreed with them. Well, why does Nancy Pelosi live behind a wall? It's for protection, and we need protection for our country. I have no problem coming in legally. I welcome immigrants if they come in legally. But to just have no protection for our country whatsoever is crazy, especially when you have people who are very hypocritical like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi who won't open borders, but yet they live behind their own walls and locked doors and gates. And I just can't understand why people want to take care of someone who has come into this country illegally and not take care of its own citizens first. Nancy Pelosi visited the families of the children that died in the custody of Border Patrol, but she will not go and visit the families of people who are killed by illegal immigrants. And it's very hypocritical, and I just don't understand why someone wants to take care of someone else first over their own citizens of their own country. It's ridiculous.
That would be an interesting way to start the show, talk about that comment. The listener said that those who oppose a border wall want no security for our country. He said, why do Schumer and Pelosi live behind a wall and lock doors and gates? He says he favors legal immigration. And he says, why does Pelosi want to take care of illegal immigrants? And she visited the children of illegal immigrants who are locked up in detention centers, but he said Pelosi does not care about people killed by illegal immigrants. So we could talk about that. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And, I'm wondering, have you been to the border in Southern California or in Southern Texas or in Southern Arizona or Southern New Mexico? Have you crossed the border there? And can you just, if you want to, can you just go back and forth over the border without passing through a checkpoint? I've done it and passed through the border. I can assure you that there is a checkpoint there, both going out and coming back in. I've also passed through the border into Canada many, many times. And there's a checkpoint there, too. The security was really lax in the 1960s going to Canada. You could practically breeze through. Now it's a whole lot harder to get back and forth into Canada, both into Canada and then back into the U.S. Anyway, that caller, he makes some interesting points. I think it's a good point for jumping off in our conversation today. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. This is WMNF in Tampa. Patty Perkey and Frank Knox are behind the scenes making the show happen. And let's go to John in Port Richey today. John, thanks for calling in. What'd you think of that caller at the top of the show?
Well, a caller the other day mentioned basically the same thing. They're talking about Obama having a wall around his house, and that made me think about that whole wall thing. and how, first of all, his assumption is that the Democrats are not for border security, which is incorrect. They are for border security. I'm for border security. We have things down there that we can do. It's just a matter of what would be the best way to do this. And apparently, conservatives equate a wall with security, which is, first of all, I think a false equation. But second, the analogy is so far off, it's just ridiculous. Because when they talk about, like, oh, Obama has a wall around his house, or Nancy Pelosi has a wall around his house, yes, it's for protection. And when you look at that protection, it's against criminals in this country. And criminals in this country are opportunistic. Take two houses side by side. One house that's all lit up, windows are easy to see if you're going to break into, and another house that's in the dark, has weeds all over the windows. Which house is the criminal going to break into? The one that you can't see. Something they say, when you park in a parking lot, park under a lighted area, because that will deter criminals. So you can't use the same analogy that this wall down here is going to stop these criminals, just like a wall around your house is going to stop a criminal. You go look at gated communities, they get robbed too. But let's look at Obama for a second. It's not really the wall that's keeping those people that really want to get in there to do anything to Obama. It's those guys with the guns behind the
wall.
Well,
let's just do away with this idea that Obama has a wall around his house. First of all, that's not true, John.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, let me tell you what the truth is.
They're using.
Yeah, John, let me tell you what the truth is. And I'm citing the Washington Post on this. President Trump last Sunday, and I'm reading from the Washington Post, falsely claimed that the Washington home of former President Obama and Michelle Obama is surrounded by a 10-foot wall. Trump's tweet comes in the midst of a partial government shutdown, which was spurred December 22nd. Trump alleged that the wall around Obama's mansion was necessary for the former first couple's safety and security, adding the U.S. needs a slightly larger version. Trump's assertion came as a surprise to two of Obama's neighbors Monday, who told the Washington Post there is no such wall. The 8,200-square-foot structure, despite several security features, is completely visible from the street. A neighbor, a longtime resident of the area who spoke on the condition of anonymity to preserve their privacy, said Trump has a very active imagination. There's a fence that goes along the front of the house, but it's the same as all the other neighbors have. The neighbor said it's tastefully done. And there's a picture on the Washington Post website. So Obama does not have a wall around his current house.
Well, thank you for that information. But I guess my point is, when they talk about these places that have walls and they're more secure because they have the wall, that's not a good analogy because, like I said, first of all, criminals in this country are opportunistic. So you can't really equate the same thing with people that are desperately wanting to get into this country. The wall's not going to stop them. Just like if a criminal desperately wants to get into your house, that wall is not going to stop them. Probably what's going to be better is that security guy behind the wall that's patrolling the place that can catch you if you get over the wall. We already have security fences and that sort of stuff up there. Cost-effective, better way would be maybe put sensors in the ground. Let's do other ways to do surveillance. And something else that these people don't think about is the wildlife going back and forth. You know, you're going to be deterring that, which I guess that's not a big deal to these people because They're just fed a diet of fear, and I'm just going to stick with the fear from the right wing radio about MS-13 getting in here.
All right,
that
John
wall isn't going to stop them.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Thank you. All right, you said a lot. You know that was 4 minutes worth of material there. Way to go. Thanks, John. Our phone number 813-239-9663. I'm curious. Have you been to the border, the Texas border? And have you been to the Arizona border? What did you see there? I've been to those borders. I've been to the Texas border. I've been to the Canada border, north of Seattle, the Canada border near Buffalo and Niagara Falls and Toronto. Toronto's across the lake. But I've been there. And you can't just go across the border willy-nilly. I think some Americans who haven't traveled have this different idea of the border. And there's also a lot of farmland and the land in which people go back and forth across the border, too. But I'm wondering, have you been to the border? What did you see? Because we had the caller at the top say that people that oppose the building of the wall want no security for our country. And I think we should talk about that. I think the caller made some very interesting points, but let's have a conversation about it. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Elio in Tampa. Elio, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I got to do this real quick because I'm out in the field right now. Your caller, I mean, you were just too kind in your just description of him right now. His information, I don't know if he's a paid Russian troll or just somebody whose IQ is measured in two digits, but it's already come out that that wall about Nancy Pelosi, she doesn't have a wall around her house either. That's like it was some kind of a demonstration home in the neighborhood she lives, and there's a one of those clips on the internet where they take you in the house and everything else, but it wasn't her house. So that information is just a complete lie, just like everything else that comes out of that conservative side of the supposed news cycle. So I just wanted to make that quick comment because I want to get the facts out there, and I'm just kind of tied up right now. So.
All right, Elio, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. 813-239-9663. Thanks, Elio. I haven't fact-checked the part about Nancy Pelosi having a wall around her house. There's rich people in Tampa that have walls and gates around their house. I understand that. Pelosi is incredibly rich. But I'm going to, Elio, I'm going to fact-check that, too, and see what is surrounding Pelosi's house in California. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. But I think the more important thing is the caller raised some really interesting issues. I think he really well represented the beliefs of many people who support President Trump and the wall. They believe that people that oppose the wall want no security for the country. They believe that people that oppose the wall care more about illegal immigrants than they do about Americans who live here. And I would just like your response to that caller. 813-239-9663. Thanks for listening to WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. And let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, thanks for calling. What did you think of the comment at the top of the show?
Well, first of all, I am just disgusted with this constant tit-for-tat thing, whether Nancy Pelosi has a wall or Obama has a wall. It gets nothing solved. We just go back and forth talking about that, and it does absolutely nothing for the problems at hand. And as far as the wall goes, and as far as how people in this country are affected, the amount of money for that wall is ridiculous. It's obscene. The money could be used for so many different things that people in this country need. People need universal health care. So many things that this money could be put to so much better use than that. And as far as I'm concerned about the immigrant people that supposedly are invading our country, I am disgusted by the way these families have been treated. It's just whenever I hear it, it always makes me think of Nazi concentration camps. And, it boggles the mind, though, the way some of these people can waste the money of this country. Same way for our defense programs. We need to start putting this into our people here. Sure, it's not going to protect us. How is that going to protect us? We need problems solved here. Health care, people's high cost of education. All those problems. That's what we need to concentrate
on. Friend, the caller made the point that he said that he thought that people who are opposed to the border wall care more about illegal immigrants than they do about the people here in the U.S. And by what you just said, you were laying out a whole case to try to help people here in the U.S.
I mean, wasting money that way is not going to, it's not going to help people in this country. It's just having, it's going to have the opposite effect.
All right.
That's how I see it.
Fran, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. Would you rather pay money for a border wall, or would you rather erase the college debt of kids who have just graduated from college? Which do you think would be a better spending, better use of the money? I mean, if they've got $5 billion to spend, they don't care about blowing up the deficit. Would it be better for our country to build the border wall, or would it be better to erase the debt of thousands or maybe tens of thousands of college students? What do you think? 813-239-9663. I went to Snopes, and they fact-checked the whole thing about Pelosi. They say that one of her properties in California has a stone border wall that looks like it's about 4 feet tall, easy to climb. It doesn't encircle the entire property. It's no more than a few feet high, and they showed a picture of it. And then she owns a house in San Francisco. These are both California properties. The house in San Francisco, that property is not surrounded by walls either. And you can look at that at Snopes.com and fact check that. 813-239-9663. Well, you are listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to, Gary in Dunedin. Gary, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks, Rob. Happy New Year. So what I'm going to say, and it's going to be concise and detailed and factual, is under the umbrella of the lifeboat analogy, which is to say that a country, an ecosystem, a microclimate, a region, is like a lifeboat. And if you bring on too many people, it sinks. Now, you know from my past calls, I despise Donald Trump, and I have no respect for his supporters either. I don't support a border wall either, because it would be, as the other caller said, ecologically ruinous. And ecologically ruinous is to allow more and more people to come into the United States. The studies show that when people come into the United States, they scale up their consumption and pollution and destruction of the environment to match the increased lifestyle that we Americans enjoy. Secondly, lifeboat analogy, we already don't have good infrastructure, schools, economics, healthcare for the existing population load that's in the United States. So why do we want more people to come in? I oppose all immigration from all countries, legal or illegal, and not even Donald Trump will say that. But for the sake of the environment, for the sake of the fact that we're already in debt and that we don't have a good quality of life for the citizens that are already here, I say whatever you have to do other than a stupid wall, we don't need any more people here. The lifeboat is sinking as it is.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot.
Thank you,
sir. Let's see if people agree with you. 813-239-9663. A couple things about Gary's point. There have been a number of stories, and I don't have them in front of me, but I was looking them up this morning. When people come here from places like Mexico, they hope to return to their home country. They're for years and years, from about 1980 to about 2000 or so, there were a lot of people coming here from Mexico and Central America. That kind of died down, and for a long time, in the last few years, there's been an out-migration of people from Mexico. I think they sometimes make their nut and go back to Mexico. And you can look those stories up. But there's another story in today's paper, to Gary's point, that we're a sinking lifeboat with too many people. In the Tampa Bay Times today, on page 4B, there's a story that's headlined, "Shortage of Skilled Workers is Big Worry for Builders." And I'll just read the first paragraph. This is by Melina Carollo on the Times staff. She says, "Construction firms across the state expect to step up hiring significantly in 2019 to meet a growing demand for the industry. There's just one problem, a labor shortage that has plagued construction for years." So that's an interesting story. It looks like, at least in construction for the time being, there's going to be plenty of jobs. 813-239-9663. Let's listen to what Nancy Pelosi said yesterday when she was asked about the border wall. Here's part of what she had to say yesterday to reporters who were asking her why she opposed
the wall. A wall is an immorality. It's not who we are as a nation. And this is not a wall between Mexico and the United States that the president is creating here. It's a wall between reality and his constituents. A wall is an immorality.
He does not
it's not who we are as a nation. And this is not a wall between Mexico and the United States that the president is creating here. It's a wall between reality and his constituents. His supporters. He does not want them to know what he's doing to Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security in his budget proposal. He does not want them to know what he's doing to clean air and clean water and the rest in his Department of Interior and of of EPA. He does not want them to know how he is hurting them, so he keeps the subject on the wall. He's a master of diversion. We're trying to open up government. We're giving him a mature path to do so.
Vice President Pence came up here just before Christmas and made a deal on the wall, offered a deal on the wall to Senator Schumer, in which he more than halved what the president was requiring, more than $7 billion. He had it down to $2.1 billion. You rejected it out of hand.
No, I didn't reject it out of hand. He didn't make it to me, but before his wheels were even up off the Capitol, the White House was saying, we reject that. We're not going below $5 billion. So, I mean, if you want to tell that story, tell the whole story. The White House immediately said, now they're saying $5.6 billion. So they weren't even on the level with the vice president's offer that he made.
Nancy Pelosi yesterday, the Speaker of the House, talking about the wall. Let's go back to the caller at the top of the show and just listen back to what he had to say. I think he made some interesting points. I think he fairly represents what a lot of people think. And I want to get your take on this. What do you think about what this caller said, who commented about yesterday's radioactivity program?
So I was just making a response to one of the callers that had called in yesterday about the border wall. And this woman, you know, wanted to say that the border wall was immoral and racist. I would just like to ask, like, her and people who support open borders and support not having any security for the country, why do they lock their own doors? Why do they live behind a fence, a locked door, or a wall themselves? And people like, she mentioned Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi saying the wall was immoral and that she agreed with them. Well, why does Nancy Pelosi live behind a wall? It's for protection, and we need protection for our country. I have no problem coming in legally. I welcome immigrants if they come in legally. But to just have no protection for our country whatsoever is crazy, especially when you have people who are very hypocritical, like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, who want open borders, but yet they live behind their own walls and locked doors and gates. And I just can't understand why people want to take care of someone who has come into this country illegally and not take care of its own citizens first. Nancy Pelosi visited the families of the children that died in the custody of Border Patrol, but she will not go and visit the families of people who are killed by illegal immigrants. And it's very hypocritical, and I just don't understand why someone wants to take care of someone else first over their own citizens of their own country. It's ridiculous.
Well, that was a comment that we received from a caller yesterday who was listening to yesterday's program here on WMNF in Tampa. He said that people like Nancy Pelosi and others who oppose the wall support open borders and would not have any security on the country. Is Nancy Pelosi really saying to do away with the Border Patrol and U.S. Customs and the gates that are between Canada and the U.S. or Texas and Mexico or California and Tijuana? 813-239-9663. Sarah comments about that caller. Sarah says, protection from who? From refugees and their children? I lock my doors, but that's against the local crackheads who are white. It's immoral to treat human beings the way they're jammed up at the border without giving them the opportunity to apply and having to camp in bad conditions. That's Sarah from Arcadia. Wendy writes this, I disagree with the wall because it's a waste of money. Besides, it's being logistically impossible. It's merely a way to give government contracts to contractors, and the graft continues. The rich get richer, the poor get children. Wendy, that's Wendy who's out there in cyberspace. 813-239-9663. Jim writes this, there's a great article in the Times earlier this week about the hundreds of thousands of people that come in aboard all forms of transportation and simply overstay their visas. A wall will not stop that. Jim, thanks a lot. I didn't see that. Was that in the Tampa Bay Times or was that in the New York Times? I did not see it, I got to say. Let's go to Mike in Sarasota. Mike, what would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. I just want to say a few things. First, once you get past the extras that the caller said about Obama's house and the fence and that, I think his basic points were right. because not just Obama and Pelosi, but you and me, Rob, Laura, and myself, we lock our doors and we lock it on our houses and our cars. And these are just the facts of life. And people have to have borders, and so do nations. And I don't think you can have open borders. You don't if you don't control who comes into your country.
Well, you know, I lock my doors, but I lock my doors against the local people who might have criminal intent. I don't lock my doors against immigrants. And we don't have open borders. If you know, and that was my point at the top of the show. Anybody who's been to places like Laredo, Texas, or San Diego, to be at the border crossing. You know, you just can't walk across the border. You have to go in. You have to show your papers. You have to explain why you're there. They may search your car as you're going in. Same thing going from Washington State into Canada. Same thing going from Buffalo into Canada. It's not easy. We don't have open borders. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I beg to differ, and I will cite one statistic. I can't cite it precisely, but at one point, it was estimated that there were something like 10 to 12 million illegal aliens from south of the border in America. Spanning, and this is the total that had entered the country beginning maybe since the 80s. So 10 to 12 million is a pretty big figure.
Well, that's true, but are they walking through open borders? I mean, Jim just said one of the Times newspapers, I don't know if it's the New York Times or the Tampa Bay Times, had a story this week in which it said that the vast majority of people that come into the country are coming here through regular transportation, buses, airplanes, ships, and they have a visa to come here, and they overstay their visa. So, you know, a big wall that costs, really the wall is going to cost at least $25 billion, not just $5 billion. A big wall is not going to stop that, because you're still going to allow buses, trains, airplanes, ships to come to the U.S.
Well, like you, I'm skeptical of the impact of a wall, but I think the caller had another basic point, which was that the Democrats have yet to really show that they are for secure borders. I mean, they seem to oppose.
But we have secure borders. Have you ever been, Mike, have you ever been to one of our borders?
I have been to one of our.
Which one?
I have been to the Canadian border.
All right. Well, how did you get into Canada?
I had to provide a passport.
Okay, and were there security officers there?
Certainly.
And when you came back into the U.S., did you just walk right in or drive right through?
Of course not, Rob, but I wasn't an illegal alien trying to get across. And I think that in general, the Canadian border, up until recent years, after 9/11, was a fairly easy border to come.
No, it was tightened even before that. But yeah, in the 1960s and 70s, I can tell you for a fact, because I went to Canada dozens of times, it was very easy to get in. But beginning maybe in the 1990s, it got tougher and tougher to get back and forth between Canada and the U.S. I just don't buy the premise, Mike, and I know you're a great guy. I just don't buy the premise that we have open borders. And I know that that's what your point is, but I think people get in through other means.
Well,
I think that a lot of people who are here illegally are not necessarily here from Mexico, but I think it includes a range of countries, including places like Ireland and England and Canada and France and Italy and those kind of countries. But go ahead.
I think your premise is, from what you're saying, is that there's a tight security down on our southern border. I can't say I haven't been there, but I think that given the flow of migrants, it seems that there's a lot of people coming through the tunnels, the millions that have made it. Now, unfortunately, this whole issue has become politicized. I mean, Trump is obviously proposing this extreme thing, and he's playing to his base. But I think the Democrats are doing the same thing too. They're playing to their base, and so a good outcome would be is if somehow these people could get together, ha 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 ha, and actually come up with a process where we could have what I would call people would generally agree upon as a reasonably tight border. You're not going to stop everybody.
All right, but, Mike, yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. I'm glad you were able to make your points. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jack in Tampa. Hi, Jack. What would you like to say about this?
Hi. Good morning. I can't disagree, you know, more. And as far as crossing the border, we're talking about Mexico, not Canada. I can tell, I'm 2010, I went to El Paso. I went straight into Mexico. There was one border guard there. I opened the sunroof of my car. I just yelled out through him, through the top, that I'm cutting through to Tucson. and he just waved me on through. I didn't roll down my window. I didn't show him my driver's license, passport.
Jack, I got to say, I don't believe you. I don't believe you're telling the truth. You know, I've been to Laredo, Texas. It is hard to get back and forth across the Laredo crossing. And you said you were in Texas and you were on your way to Arizona. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I was on my way to Bullhead, Arizona. My dad had just had a massive heart attack and was in a nursing home there, and he probably had about three.
And you just opened up your sunroof, and the U.S. border guard waved you through. Is that your claim?
There was only one guy there. There was only one guard there.
And where was this? What again?
In El Paso, I was cutting through to get to Highway 10. And then I was going to go up to 92.
You know, Jack, I got to say that doesn't pass the smell test. And I know you call a lot. Yesterday, I think you said that Donald Trump is worth $900 billion. I got to say, I fear, Jack, you're a troll. But, Jack, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Happy Friday, Rob. My head's hurting just from all this. Did you hear Donald Trump say today that he knows more about,
drones? Was it
drones? Thank you.
Yep.
I know more about drones than anybody.
I think he knows more about anything than any of us do.
Well,
that's his claim.
That he knows
that's
about
his claim.
His own voice that he hears in his head. So that's the only drone he knows about. And I had read yesterday, I believe in the Tampa Bay Times, that $5 billion only covers 200 miles of a wall.
The total cost, I've read the total cost of the wall, $25 billion, at least as proposed by President Trump. I think the problem is that you've got ranchers and families that have land right there on the border.
And a lot of those people go back and forth. They do business
exactly.
In Mexico, you know, and they have a lot of friends, you know, that go back and forth. And can you imagine, number one, building that wall would be like building a wall from Tampa to Edmonton, Canada. That's 2,000 miles. Not only how long would that take, but how over budget would it be? And it's so archaic anyway, it's ridiculous. But they continue to harp on this stuff instead of taking care, like what Gary in Dunedin said, that, you know, with all the building and you mentioned about the trades and everything, why can't we start taking care of the infrastructure? That's the building we need in this country. That's what we need to take care of. You know, everything's just falling apart, and they just want to go willy-nilly in all these different directions and not focus.
Yeah, I can show you roads right here in Tampa that need to be rebuilt. I can show you sewers that overflow, stormwater sewers that overflow right here in Tampa that need to be rebuilt. If we've got $5 billion laying around that we don't mind expanding the deficit for, let's spend it on infrastructure. I think that would put a lot of Americans to work. It would make our commutes better. It would make our cars last longer. It would make the whole country more productive. Building a wall does not make the country more productive.
No, and anybody who spouts off about, you know, they're going to keep us safe. Who was it that said anybody who will give away their freedom for being safe deserves or gets neither one? You know, something.
Yeah, I think that was the Ben Franklin quote. All right. Andy, thanks a lot. All right, thanks. Doug in Clearwater writes in to say, we are defending against people wanting better, Why do we not put more energy into people being able to participate in a very productive way? That's Doug in Clearwater. And Chip writes this. He says, illegal immigrants aren't even on the radar regarding things that concern me. Climate chaos, our healthcare system, growing inequality, and the growing poverty it causes. Environmental degradation and the way people drive, those are all greater threats than immigration, writes Chip. Well, this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM, and let's go to Clark in Sarasota, who's been holding for 14 minutes. Clark, you're on.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Yeah, the whole thing about the wall and everything, it seems to me it's one of those things at first, if they... any employer that's caught hiring an illegal is sued or charged a certain fine. So that might take all those fines that are collected and use it then to train people to be workers in construction and other areas where we supposedly have some lack of workers. And the workers are told and they need to be paid well and need to be given good working conditions, here. These are United States citizens, I'm saying, because people always complain that nobody's thinking about us citizens. And that would be the way to do it.
So Clark, you think that right now employers aren't sanctioned enough so that when they hire an undocumented person, they should have a fine, and we should use that fine to do a job training for people. That's your point.
Yeah. And I think those would help in terms of just filling jobs with people that would be willing to work, but it might need some training, and they might be willing to work out even picking in the crops if they get paid well. And the other thing is, I kind of agree with that fellow's comment about Pelosi visiting a family, you know, of immigrants versus visiting another American family that supposedly was troubled by a shooting from an illegal alien. I think a lot of the people that are so interested in wanting to help illegal aliens and et cetera, what they need to do is take their energy and their passion and turn it outwards and go into these countries and try to see what they can do to make these countries better for the people that live there originally, like in Mexico or in Honduras, and work for the United States government to allow these countries to have free voting and not mess about in their politics. And so I kind of call it the bleeding heart liberal thing, but they need to bleed their hearts in these other countries and help those people. That means then they really do care about the people.
All right, Clark, thanks a lot. Okay. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've been around for a long time, you know that the U.S. has been involved heavily in places like Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador and Nicaragua for years and years. You don't see many people leaving Nicaragua. You do see a lot of people leaving places like Guatemala and Honduras and Salvador. Those are the places where we backed right-wing groups, either governments or military dictatorships. And we have been involved there for a long time. The American public doesn't pay much attention to it. Ronald Reagan paid a lot of attention to it, but he was on the side of the far right wing. The right wing didn't help the average person in those countries. So if you were a union person trying to create better working conditions in Salvador or a place like Colombia, the U.S. was often on the opposite side of that union. Companies like Coca-Cola, and we've done stories about this, actually hired people in places like Colombia to kill union workers, union organizers. So next time you think about whether or not Ronald Reagan was right to arm the military dictatorships and military groups in Central America, think about what they ended up doing for the working people of that country. Did they make their lives any easier? And Reagan poured billions of dollars into Central America, fighting liberals and leftists and communists who were trying to create a more equal society in that part of the world. But a lot of these same people now that are complaining about the refugees from Guatemala are the same ones that backed the military dictatorships 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago, going back to the 1950s. So if you really want people's lives to be better, let them have free trade unions. Let them organize. Let them have free democratic elections. Let's not have military dictatorships. Let's not overthrow democratically elected governments. And this has been going on for years and years and years. A lot of our listeners know this history, and a lot of our listeners don't know this history. That's part of the reason MNF is here, to talk about that. And we've talked about the U.S. involvement in other countries, especially Central America and South America. We've talked about that since the start of this radio station. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Peter in Clearwater. Peter, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I want to share my border experience. I've never been to the Mexican border, but I've been to the Canadian border several times. I used to go fishing every year with a group of friends from the late 90s through the early 2000s. And I can remember particularly one year right after September 11th. It must have been the summer of 2002, we were driving back, heading across the border to make a flight out of International Falls, and it must have been like 4 in the morning, half the people in my car are asleep, and I've got the passenger getting everyone's driver's license. Back then, you could go through with a driver's license. You didn't need a passport. He's still collecting the driver's license out of the back seat. I pull up to the Border Patrol guy, and he's like, "Were you guys here fishing?" And I said, "Yeah." And he just sort of waved us through. He never even got a chance to look at our license. So, and my other times going through the border wasn't much better. So my experience is, my limited experience in going through the border is that it is pretty porous. I thought it was interesting.
Now, what year again? What year?
It would have been like the particular incident I'm talking about was 2002. I mean, it was literally, you know, not more than 8 months after September 11th. But we used to go fishing from like about 98 through about 05. And my experience was always when you drove into Canada, they would, you know, really ask you, do you got any fruit? You know, do you have any guns? What are you doing? How long are you going to be here? They'd ask you several questions and give you a good look over and look over your documents on the way into Canada. On the way back, you know, sometimes it was hit and miss. Sometimes you get a border agent who was paying attention and had really carefully eyeball everybody's driver's license. But sometimes he'd just sort of like glance at them and wave you through. And like I told you, that one incident, he never even got a look at everyone's driver's license.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you called with your experience. That's 2002. All right. Peter, all right. Thanks a lot. Okay, that's Peter's experience. What's your experience as you've crossed the border? 813-239-9663. My kids were real cut-ups, and I had two girls, and back probably in the 1990s, we were coming back from Canada. We were in British Columbia, heading back to Seattle, and my kids were in the back seat, and we were coming into the U.S., and the kids were in the back seat, and the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol person there didn't talk to us. He asked for my driver's license and asked for my wife's driver's license, but he didn't talk to us. He immediately asked the two kids in the back, who were probably 10 and 11, somewhere in there. They said to the kids, "Do you know these people in the front seat?" And the kids kind of wisecracked and said, "No, we've never seen them before in our lives." So they pulled over our car, and they went through. And then we had to explain that the kids were joking, and that we indeed were related. The kids, of course, didn't have any driver's licenses, and in the 1990s, you didn't have to have a passport going back back and forth between Canada. But we were pretty heavily scrutinized in the 1990s as we went through because my kids are wisecrackers. 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Clearwater. John, thanks a lot. Did you cross the border to Tucson?
Yeah, I lived in Tucson for 22 years.
Good. All right.
I've crossed many times. I left in 97, though, but I've frequently gone back to visit friends. We've gone down to Rocky Point. We've come back. There is a secure border. I can name a number of instances and stuff, but it's definitely secure.
Well, give us an example. How is it secure?
When you came in, they asked us for our IDs, our tourist cards, lately our passports. Asked us what we were doing. This is coming back in. Admittedly, it's easier when you're an American, so that's not really the issue here. But the U.S. does check at all the border stops. I was recently in Aravaca, Arizona. Let me catch my breath here. Which is like a little town about 6 miles north of the border. The road down there has a checkpoint on it from Tucson. There were agents in the town checking people as they go in and out. This one little road had three agents, the two I just mentioned, and then just the third sitting by the side of the road. So, I mean, they're checking the roads, definitely.
John, can you imagine ever crossing the border, waving your driver's license through your sunroof and just saying, "Hey, I got to get through"? Can you ever imagine?
No. I tried to get into Canada a couple of years ago, and I had like an old shoplifting thing from the 60s, and they wouldn't let me in. They like tore apart my car, turned us around. So, I mean, getting into Canada is pretty difficult, and I never got in, so I can't talk about getting back into the United States side.
Yeah. All right. John, thanks a lot.
I have a couple other points, too. First of all, the U.S. government stole Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California from Mexico. They called it the Gadsden Purchase or this and that purchase, but what they did, they said, hey, take this money, or we're going to send in the army, and we're going to take it anyway. So as far as, Latins living in all those states, they used to own them, you know, before we stole them. And another thing, it's the Rio Grande. Which side is going to have the wall? You know, who's going to lose their water? You know, I mean, that's like 500 miles of
water. That's a big issue. Yeah. All right, John, thank you so much.
Another thing.
Well, John.
Another thing, Rob.
Okay, quickly, because we've got every line lit.
All right. The critters also have rights, too. It's like an ecological bomb to put up a 30-foot wall. I could go on and on, but I have some questions. You know, what happens when Trump builds his 30-foot wall? The Mexicans build a 31-foot ladder.
Yeah. All right, John. John, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you.
Rob,
all right.
For that one.
Thank you. We're hearing from a lot of diverse people here today, and that's what I really like to hear from, especially a lot of new people. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Bowen writes this: I'm all for border security, but not a useless wall. There have been tunnels from Mexico for years. High tech is the way to handle the security. If we can fly drones from Hancock, New York, over the Middle East, I'm sure drones and other surveillance. Spend the money on infrastructure that is crumbling, writes Bowen. And 813-239-9663. Jonathan sends this from PolitiFact. PolitiFact says, no, Nancy Pelosi's home doesn't sit behind a high wall. Jonathan says you can look that up at politifact.com. Jonathan, thank you very much. And Charles in Tampa says, I missed your first caller, but I'm very confident it was the exact same scripted fiction ideology that they all regurgitate. When these folks call me a liberal, I point out that I do not want open borders. I do not want to repeal the Second Amendment and ban all guns. I do not want free on-demand abortions paid for by tax dollars. And I work for a living. I do not want to receive a check from the government every month so that I cannot work. This is the definition of liberal that they've had shoved down their throats, and they believe entirely, writes Charles in Tampa. Well, this is 88.5 FM. Let's go to Mark in Marion County. Mark, what would you like to add to the discussion?
Rob, I'd like to say that I took the test for the U.S. Border Patrol when I left the Marine Corps in the early 90s, and passed the test, and then I did the oral interview, which was not easy, at the federal building, the Russell Building, downtown Atlanta, was offered a job. Because I saw the country, that part of the country, Atlanta, was overran with folks that they were in the construction business, of which I was in because I was a carpenter in the Marine Corps, in addition to being a U.S. Embassy Guard. So I kind of saw both sides of the equation. One of the premises in your show, Rob, you mentioned it had any, you know, had the callers been to any of the borders. In 77, I had a colonel select myself, Rob, and two other recruits who were still in boot camp. We weren't even graduated. And he said, you Marines come with me. He was a decorated Vietnam veteran. They gave us live ammunition. They put us down the rifle butts, the pits, on a Friday night, whatever it was, there on the border of San Diego. And he said the folks were breaking into the country through there. So I wasn't highly agitated. I just happened to be out of breath because I'm riding my bicycle. But we were selected because we were mature and calm. And in any case, I found that as a compliment. But they gave us live ammunition to protect ourselves and not to shoot anyone. They explained the orders, the UCMJ, to us, and you had to read it. And it wasn't just fly by night. But in any case, so 10 years later, or whatever the numbers are, I take the test for the Border Patrol. And and at that time, I think there was like 5,000 agents. Now, for the right wingers that listen to your show or in conversation to my fellow normal people, there are 22,000 U.S. Border Patrol agents. Barack Obama, under the Border Patrol under him, incarcerated more people than the Bush Jr. administration. Now, immigration, illegal immigration numbers are kind of an all-time low considering the last, I think, 40 or 50 years. So it's a hyperinflated argument. I make two personal observations that I haven't heard mentioned to you on the show exactly. But the one caller kind of led to it, and I was wondering about his motivation. But if we look at the employers, the big corporations that operate in Central America and in Mexico, many of those corporations are American-owned, and they will not let people earn the comparable wage that the same company that's operating in Canada makes. You may go to Canada and work for General Motors or Westinghouse and make $32 an hour plus a pension. And then you go south of the Mason-Dixon, the Mexican border, and you may make, you know, $2 or $3 an hour, if that. So, you know, so we do have a group of Americans called the School of Americas that targets that in a information-type way, not in a malicious way. And the other argument observation I make, and I wonder if listeners wouldn't disagree with me, and I have a feeling it would be like the Dick Cheney-Halliburton contract. And they call it a no-bid contract. Trump will award the contract to himself or his son-in-law or his brother or whoever it goes to. And they'll keep about 90% of the $5 billion. He owes Putin $2 billion right now and Deutsche Bank another $2 billion. So there's only $1 billion left for the wall, which leaves us about $24 billion left to complete the project. And there are going to be cost overruns for a wall that's dating back to the 1300s. So I think it's really about Trump really awarding his own family the
all
money.
Right. All right. We'll see if that happens. All right. Mark, thanks a lot. Thanks for thanks for your eyewitness report. James writes this. The caller was a Trump supporter. He lives in fear and hate, and he's uninformed. For me, I would much rather live next to anyone in the caravan who gave up everything and walked 1,000 miles for a better life than a Trump-ignorant fearmonger gun nut, writes James from cyberspace. And here's an email from the 239 area code. It says, how is it that conservatives get to crow about unemployment being so low, thanks Obama, and still pretend that immigrants are taking all the jobs? Why do so few people on the left point out in the blatant hypocrisy and contradictions? Because there's precious little else coming out of the right, writes 239. Well, let's take some more phone calls. We're going to go to Rick in Parrish, who's been holding for 10 minutes. Rick, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good.
Good. Look, I spent a lot of time by the border. I lived in Tucson for 4 years. By the way, the fellow who drove into, we're from Mexico through El Paso and just yelled through the sunroof, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, I don't think so. I spent a lot of time on the border. I was actually involved in a group, it was associated with a church, and we would assist folks crossing the border. Now, let me just be real clear, we did not smuggle or aid or abet. We gave water and first aid. I'm a nurse. I saw behavior from the border guard, the border patrol, that was outstanding, you know, during my time there. Our borders are definitely secure. I would go back and forth pretty regularly through Nogales. There are ranch lands all through that area there that are not particularly secure, and asylum seekers do walk across the deserts, and they do leave a lot of trash. So I do see the other, you know, I do see the other side. I'm a Democrat. I haven't met a Democrat that is for open borders. Now, I think it was last week, Rob, or the week before, we landed a craft on Mars that can detect seismic activity. I'm thinking we can probably have high-tech border patrol,
yeah,
which would,
I think, know, so too. I think
probably do the trick.
Exactly.
And also, I'll go real quick. I know it's the end of the show. The land down there is mind-bogglingly beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous country down there. And no, you cannot put a 35-foot concrete wall there.
Yeah,
absolutely
right.
Not. And I'll let you go, buddy, because it's 11:59.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Thanks for your call. And let's see if we can squeeze in one more phone call. Let's go to Mary in Brandon. Mary, we just have 30 seconds. What would you like to say?
Hello.
Hi, Mary. You're on. You're live.
Okay. My experience is a group of us, we went to Canada, and that was about 20 years ago. And one lady, I thought she had forgotten her passport, and they were ready to send the entire group back to New York. We were coming from New York just because one person forgot her passport. So this person who said that they just wave and they let them go, that is not true. And Democrats don't believe that everybody should just come in into the country like that. They just, the Republicans want people to think that's what we believe, but that's not what we want.
Mary, thank you so much. All right. Great to hear from you. That's a great way to wrap up the show. If you want to comment about the show today, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment about the last hour here on WMNF. Record your comment on extension 115. And what I'll do is I'll play your comment back Monday at 11 o'clock. Well, coming up next, Janelle Irwin returns to the MNF airwaves. She's been gone for a couple of years, but she's going to be hosting the Midpoint program from now on, now that the great Daniel Ruth has retired. So it'll be good to have Janelle back on these airwaves. So stick around for a great show. Coming up next, hope you have a wonderful weekend. I'm Rob Lori. This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Here's the latest news from NPR.